personality, chapter 14. You remember that on Lord's Day evening, you were considering the kings of Israel and Judah. You only had the first three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. But Solomon, he was split in the kingdom, and you had the northern kingdom, ruled over by Jeroboam, and the southern kingdom, ruled over by Rehoboam. So we studied a little bit about Rehoboam and Abijam. And tonight, Abijam's son is Asa. So let's look and see what we can find out about Asa. Some of the kings at times are called by two names, and Abijah is also called Abijam. So if you hear me call him back, that's his other name. So Abijah sat with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. From his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So he took away the fallen altars and the high places, and break down the pillars, and build down the ashrams or the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the sun images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land was quiet. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. For he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army that bare bucklers and spears, and a buckler is simply another word for a shield. They had bucklers, shields, and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Now we're told, let me explain a little bit in verse 8 about these bucklers. They are large shields and the spears. So think, here are some that have large shields and spears, but Benjamin, these are smaller shields and they have bows and arrows. So you have an army that can fight with spears and an army that can shoot arrows. And it says, all of these were mighty men of valor. But what happens is this. God gave him rest 10 years, but after that, verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an army of 1,000,000, and 300 chariots. And he came out of Marisha. Then Asa went out to meet him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marisha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, there is none besides thee to help between the mighty and him that hath no strength. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on thee, and in thy name are we come against this multitude.
O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gera, and there fell of the Ethiopians so many that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much booty, and they smote all the cities round about Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they despoiled all the cities, for there was much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep in abundance, and camels, and returned to Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while you are with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress, they turned unto the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. That's all we'll read for tonight. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the times you tell us about that came over the nation of Israel. Lord, let us know this world in which we find ourselves right now is filled with wars. There is no peace. There is no security. Our God, let us know that you have shown kindness to us in America, that we understand what can happen in a moment. That we would thank you for the days and years of peace that you've given us, a relative peace, our God. These things come from you, and we acknowledge it, and we thank you, our God. And we desire to know why these things come, according to the scriptures, and we desire to have faith in them, and to rely upon them, and to make the Word of God our foundation. Let us understand the actions of Rehoboam and Abijah and Asa, and see the way, our God, that you dealt with them in accordance with the way that they lived and ruled before you. So teach us this night. We thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you that we're here tonight, a handful, our God, to fellowship with one another, to sing, to read the Word of God, and then to hear a few words spoken about it. So let our coming together be profitable and enjoyable, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What is so remarkable about Abijam and Rehoboam, his father, is this. Concerning Rehoboam, it says that he had 18 wives and 60 concubines, and he begat 28 sons and 60 daughters. So his son comes along, and he's nothing in comparison to him. Solomon outdid them all. Hundreds of wives and concubines. But then, Rehoboam, he did fairly well. He had 18 wives and 60 concubines, and listen to the sons he had. He had 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijam, the son of Baasha, to be chief. He's going to make him the one who reigns after him. Now, look in chapter 13 for a moment. Concerning his son Abijam, one of the 28 sons that he had, it says, Abijam, in verse 21, waxed mighty, and took unto himself 14 wives, and he begat 22 sons and 16 daughters. So, this is what is of interest at the first, that Asa is one of 22 sons. So, Abijam, his father, had nothing to worry about when it came to having an heir to sit upon the throne. And this is what I want to tell you that is commendable, first of all, about Asa. So as much as he was one of 22 sons, you'll find that there was jealousy and there was no honor and integrity among these individuals. And so let's look ahead just a moment and see what happened. Turn to chapter 21. I want you to see what happens when the son of Jehoshaphat comes to reign. In chapter 21, look at verse 1. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel, and Zechariah, and Azariah, and Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And the father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold, and of precious things, the fortified cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up over the kingdom of his father, and had strengthened himself, he slew all his brethren with the sword, and different ones also of the princes of Israel. You see the temptation? If you are the only son, you have nothing to worry about. But if you have brothers, 22 brothers, 21 brothers, or 7 or 8 brothers, it may be that one of those brothers will set his eye upon your throne. And so the only way to make your throne secure, if you are godly, is to go out and slay your brothers and anybody else that might have been friendly to your brothers. I thank God, now that we are considering Asa, that when he became king and had 21 living brothers, he did not do such a murderous deed against his brothers. Thank God for that. Now, something else about Asa that is most interesting is his grandfather, Rehoboam, was good for 3 years, but then after 3 years, he turned away from God. And his father, Abijam, only reigned for 3 years, and he was evil all those 3 years. And of all the sons that Abijam had, Asa turned out to be a good son. Isn't that remarkable? How you have some fathers, and they produce children, and their children are evil. And you have some fathers, and they produce children, and somehow one of those children turns out to be a man of God and follows God with all his heart. And so Asa was one of those sons. He was not afraid that his brothers would take his throne, and so he spared them. And even though if someone asked him about his father, tell me about your father. Was he a religious man? Was he a good man? Did he bring you up in the things of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And Asa would have to say, no, my father was a godless man. He was able to recount all the faithful impartations that God had given to Israel. He was able to lay before his enemies all the privileges and advantages that Israel had, but they had no influence upon his heart. But one good thing that his father, Abijam, bestowed upon Asa was this. Let me read it to you. Look in chapter 13, that's Proverbs 13, and in verse 19, and Abijam pursued after Jeroboam, and took cities from him, Bethel with the towns thereof, Jeshanah with the towns thereof, Ephron with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord smote him, and he died. You see what has happened? The reason, human is speaking, that his son Asa had quietness 10 years so that as an instrument, his father Abijah went to war against the northern kingdom and destroyed so many of them that they weren't able to recover strength throughout his reign. So when Asa comes to the throne, God has already arranged that there is going to be quietness since his domain for 10 years. So we can rejoice in that. And you look back and you think of some of the things that you inherited from your father, and they're good things. How? Well, I have peace. I don't have to worry about enemies coming and destroying me. Well, what about your spiritual condition? No, I can't say anything of those that were imparted to me by my father. But at least he gave me peace and security. He gave me physical blessings, so spiritually he imparted nothing to me. Here is the encouragement. Even though your father did not pass on to you spiritual qualities, God in his grace can give them to you without your father being a man of God. If you ask me, was your father a man of God? Was your mother a woman of God? Did they go to church? Were they religious? I answer is no. And yet God picked me up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and saved my soul. And I've been saved for over 50 years. And I can't say it because of my father or because of my mother. But I did tell you this. I told you that when I started looking back to my great-great-grandfather, I found that he was one of 7 brothers, and all of them were either preachers or were in the work of the Lord. And it may very well have been that way back in the 1800s, my great-great-grandfather was praying for his children and his posterity that God would bless him. So that would be a glorious thing. And remember, David was a man after God's own heart, and David prayed to God that God would bless his son and his children. And sometimes we are blessed not because of what we are, not because of what our father was, but someone we never knew anything about. Pray for. And God looks through 1, 2, 3, or more generations, and he answers that prayer. So, in the case of Asa, whatever it was, it turns out that he is blessed, and he spiritually is one who seeks after the Lord. Now, his father left him a peaceful kingdom, but look at what also his father left him. Look at verse 3. His father left him foreign altars or strange altars, high places, that is where they went up to worship God, and they break down the pillars, all of these obelisks, all of these monuments erected to false gods. He hewed down the Asherim or the grove where they worshiped false gods, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to do the Lord and the commandments. So that's what God left him, his father left him spiritually, and he had to do something about it. So remember that if your father has left such a spiritual condition in your life, you do not have to continue in it. You can get rid of it. If the practices of your father and your mother were contrary to all of the things written in the Holy Scriptures and all that God expects of us, you do not have to continue in those ways. Because Asa, when he would come and say, here is something my father erected. Here is some evil religion that my father tolerated. He wouldn't put up with it. He tore it down. And this is something that you can do. What his father never encouraged Israel to do, Asa encouraged Israel to do. What if we have a president that gave us commands and instructions like this? Asa tore down that which was false, and it says, he commanded Judah, his kingdom, to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. If God would give us such a man as that, but instead, those that we have an authority are not commanding us to do the will of God and follow the scriptures. They'll do anything politically that they want to. If it's the destruction of children, if it is forbidding of religion in the school, in the name of the Constitution, they will try to tear it down. And so we have to pray for those that are in authority. And perhaps someday, God will give us an Asa. We'll see that God at times has given us some that are religiously inclined. Thank God for every president that was so. At times, at least, he's given us presidents that were neutral. But in this case, God gave Israel a ruler that served the Lord. He did that which was right and good. But he's not like so many of us. It's just like this. If you ask me, do you have false gods? Do you have these things like Asa had? I say no. But at the same time, if there are others round about, I do not have the courage, or I do not realize and feel as if it's my place to go and say, get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of that from your life. I tell you, and I hope that you'll do it, but as Asa was king, he taught the people to get rid of their false gods, to follow the true God, and to do the things in the Word of God. And this is a king. This is not a priest, but here is a king. And so let us pray for our nation, and let us pray for the nations of the world, that God will raise up such men as Asa, who themselves are men of God, and who will destroy the evil that surrounds, and at the same time, promote the good. Now, look at his wisdom in redeeming the time when God gave him the opportunity to work and not be distracted by other things. If Asa was at war, he would not be able to do the things that he did, but God gave him peace for 10 years. And he said, in the time of peace, let us prepare for a time of war. This is what we as Christians are to do. Now that we have time, now that there is the opportunity when we can hide the Word of God in our hearts and study the Scriptures and do the will of God, while we have those opportunities, let us do them. Because there may come a time later when the enemy will attack us. But if we left things as they were, and the cities had no walls around them, had no defenses, then the enemy should come and destroy the cities and come and destroy us. But what Asa said was this. He said, God has given us peace, and because of that, let us avail ourselves of this opportunity and prepare against wars and enemies that are going to come and try to take away our nation, because that is what the enemies would do. Tell me, if America did not have strong defenses, humanly speaking, do you think that the nations of the world would leave us alone? With what prosperity we have, do you think that they would say, well, let us let them keep it. It means nothing to us. Well, they would come and destroy us if they could. Asa understood that, and because of it, he prepared militarily. And that is why some who are pacifists and say, no, we are not to have any army. We are not to have any secular people to take care of us. Why, God tells us in Romans chapter 13 that all of these secular individuals, those that are law enforcement officers and the military, it says they are ministers of God unto thee for good. And what is so sad is when some in the military turn out to be traitors, and when some that are officers you hear about the bribes that they take and the corruption that is among them, but still, they are ministers of God, the same as there are preachers, and you ever hear of preachers that are covetous and tell lies and send out appeals for money? You say yes. And that they do new things? You say yes. Or does that mean then none of the ministers are good and that ministers aren't of God? You say no, but among the good there will be the bad. And so because there are bad, we don't do away with the good. And because in the law enforcement and in the military there are evil ones, it does not mean that we have to do away with them, but we can thank God for them. Let us rejoice that when Hitler would take over the world, and at the same time, when Saddam Hussein would take over the world, and when other conquerors would take over the world, God had given us the power to defend ourselves. And so this is what Asa was doing. Now, look at verse 9. Whenever this occurred, it said the land was quiet 10 years. Well, let's take it then at verse 9, that after those 10 years, this happened. And there came out against Israel, which is the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin, Zerah the Ethiopian, with an army of 1,300,000 chariots. And they came to fight against Asa. Now, is Asa prepared? Of course he is. He has an army. He doesn't have an army of this magnitude, but he has almost 500,000 going against an army of 1,000,000, and his army is well trained. It says these were mighty men of valor. They knew how to shoot bows and arrows. They knew how to use spears. They knew how to defend themselves and to kill the enemy. And so Asa is not wholly unprepared. And this is what happened. Even though, humanly speaking, he had these physical defenses against the enemy that's coming, still, almost 2 to 1, he is outnumbered, and this is what a man of God can do. Look at verse 11. It says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is none besides thee to help between the mighty and him that hath no strength. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on thee, and in thy name are we come against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. That's a beautiful prayer. You see the advantage that men and women of God have over those that are godly? They have superior forces. They have strategy. They have might, but they do not have the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to whom they can pray. But Asa did. And Asa confessed that he was helpless, that God had to come and rescue. And listen to how beautifully he cries out, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on thee, and in thy name are we come out against this multitude. And so Asa goes out in the name of God to fight against his enemy, and God gives him the victory. So notice this, that he does not say, oh God, our army isn't trained, and we don't have many to fight for, but we're relying upon thee. It's not that way at all. He has as large an army as he can muster, and they are well trained, and they are courageous, they are mighty men of valor, but still he knows that that is not enough. He says, O God, we're relying upon you. He says, there is none besides thee to help. And so, having cried, having uttered this prayer to God, that says in verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. Please notice, he says that the enemy came out against you. Let not man prevail against you, Lord. I would have said, let not man prevail against us. But Asa said that we are your representatives, and let not man prevail against you. And when it says the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, I take it that he smote them with the army that Asa put in array to fight against these Ethiopians. And it says the Ethiopians fled. So, what is so good is that in the days of Solomon, God gave Solomon military victories, but at the time of Rehoboam, Rehoboam was down. But then Abijam came along, and Rehoboam, that had been such a threat to his father, it says Abijam came and fought against Jeroboam, and Jeroboam was so overpowered that throughout the rest of Jeroboam's reign, he was not able to have enough strength to come out and fight against him. And so here, God has given the victory even to that evil king, Abijam. And now Asa has to fight, and Asa is given the victory, and something similar is spoken concerning him. Listen to this now. It says concerning Jeroboam, when Abijam defeated him, it said Jeroboam could not recover strength again in the days of Abijam. And an army of some million soldiers come out against him, and it says that he so destroyed them. Look in verse 13. There fell so many of the old Ethiopians that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much booty. So thank God for that. This is the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, and the enemy is smitten such a blow that they cannot recover themselves. Here is the natural man, and he would fight again, but he says, I do not have the forces to overcome people. Now, look in chapter 16 at verse 1. Having gained the victory, different things can take place in the heart of a man, whether he's a good man or a bad man. And because of that, God sends forth a prophet, and this prophet is Azariah, the son of Oded, and he has a message for Asa. Listen to how simple it is. Verse 2. He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Listen to this message. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, isn't that a simple message? It says, if you are for God, God is going to be for you. If you seek God, God will be found of you. It's so simple. If we as Christians will understand, if we live for God, then God will be for us. And if we seek God, God will be found of us. Our Savior said that. He said, seek and ye shall find. He's not going to disappoint us. And at the same time, that God having been found, he will be precious to us, and he will fill our soul with goodness, and he may fill us with material things as well. But now, look. Look at verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress, they turned unto the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. So when they forsook God, God forsook them. And listen to this critical description. When a nation forsakes God, it says in verse 3, for a long season, Israel was without the true God. They had false God, but they had no true God, and they were without a teaching priest. They did not have holy men such as Samuel to go around and instruct them from the will of God, and they were without the law. The Bible was not read to them. They did not understand it. That was for a long time. But thank God that in Asa's time, for 10 years, they had just the opposite. And now, what Azariah, the son of Oded, has done is to come and give them this exhortation. What you've done is good, and I want you to understand that if you continue to be with God, then he will be with you. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And this is something that's sad to say is going to happen later on. But, at the time, all goes well. Now, that's all we have time for tonight. Let's pray. Now, Father, we could wish that you would raise up good men all the time, godly men. But you told us that you raise up at times the basis of men. And Father, we are so ashamed at times of those representatives that guide us. But we would pray that you would give us good men, men that's acceptable to your will and the guidance of your spirit, and that we might have quiet times, times of peace, but not times of peace, Father, when we can indulge in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, but when, Father, we can worship you in spirit and in truth, we can follow your law, we can do the things that you want a holy nation to do. We've been hearing how our nation at first, our God, has some of these principles, and we had some of our leaders that were good men and godly men. They may not have been believers in the Lord Jesus as we, but at least they had these spiritual principles. And so we pray that you shall look upon us and raise up men that shall be men of God and help us and exhort the nation to be God-fearing and to be those that are moral and do the things written in the Word of God. We thank for these blessings from the life of Asa. Blessing to our hearts, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.